The Tao of Self-Confidence, episode 275.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Get your free self-talk tape for building self-confidence by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She is a journalist and also an author, and I'm just really excited to have her on and share her story with us on self-confidence and tips that she has as well. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Deborah Jan Lee. Deborah, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sheena. I am a journalist and author of the book Rescuing Jesus, How People of Color, Women and Queer Christians Are Reclaiming Evangelicalism. And my career bio is a little unusual in that I started off in finance and realized that I really wanted to become a journalist. So I left a very stable profession for a very unstable industry. And I ended up working in public radio. I was a staff reporter for the Associated Press. I taught journalism at Columbia University in New York. And I've written a book and also write for a number of national publications like Foreign Policy, Forbes, Slate, and others. And most recently, I've been working on really engaging my readers in my book, Rescuing Jesus, and ended up co-founding this book club called One Book, One Church, in which about 50 communities from around the country are reading my book with an eye towards developing concrete strategies for practicing social justice and radical inclusion. It's been really cool to just hear from people around the country about how they're working to make their communities more inclusive.
Thanks for sharing that. And I think that's amazing that you wrote one book and it's turned into a community, having 50 communities do this reading club, right?
Yeah. We have like 800 participants. It's crazy.
That's awesome. And, you know, I'm sure when you decided to leave your finance job, your parents probably weren't the happiest when that happened.
No, not at all.
Like any other Asian parent who gets, you know, freaked out when you leave your job that's stable and good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a part of the process. And, you know, we just got to love our parents, right? And Deborah, what's your cultural background?
Sure. I'm Chinese. My parents immigrated to the U.S. from Hong Kong via Taiwan, where they met. And they moved to Chicago, and they started off in the south side of Chicago in Chinatown, and then moved our family out to the western suburbs where I was raised. So I was raised in a pretty white Chicago suburb, but we spent like every weekend in the city in Chinatown, because that's where my family had their community, and that's where my parents had friends who helped them really get their lives established in this new country.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
So I have this one friend who has a great yoga teacher who told him, don't compare your inside to other people's outside. And when my friend told me that, I thought, oh my gosh, that is the perfect self-confidence quote, especially in this era of Facebook and Instagram where everybody has these perfectly curated lives and it's very easy to see their lives as perfect, whereas you are very aware of your whole existence, the messiness, the perfections, and the imperfections. And so I love that quote because it just kind of reminds me, don't play the comparison game because it's a waste of energy and you'll never win.
I love that quote. And especially like being in an Asian culture, the compare game is like the best game ever played. You know, it's like my so-and-so got an A and your so-and-so only got a B, so you're not worthy. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter, right, what happens. And like you said, with social media too, we see these, like you said, picture perfect lives, not realizing that, you know, on the like you see them as perfect on the outside, but on the inside, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what kind of skeletons they're hiding. So you never know what's really going on. And, you know, it's just a part of life. So, you know, I really love that quote that you mentioned. And in your own words, how do you define self-confidence?
I think self-confidence is really spending the time to get to know yourself deeply, accepting yourself and loving yourself to the point where you can bring your whole self forward in life. Actually, it makes me think of another really great quote from the Zen teacher Thich Nhat Hanh, who says that every child is born in the garden of humanity as a flower. Each flower differs from every other flower. And I love this quote because it reminds me and all of us that we don't need to try to be a different flower. We are our own flower. And if we know ourselves, if we nurture ourselves, then we will blossom beautifully just as we are supposed to.
I love it. And I totally agree with you. We are all on our own journey. And I think that's what we have to focus on versus trying to see like, why is so-and-so so much better than I am?
Exactly.
Because we're all different. We're all made different. And that's a good thing. So thanks for sharing that definition. And Deborah, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
Well, like I mentioned, I grew up in a very white suburb surrounded by media that celebrated white beauty and white culture. So I was embarrassed to be Chinese, and I worked really hard to assimilate to white culture. And when people bullied me or excluded me or harassed me for being Chinese, part of me felt like I deserved it, like my ethnicity made me less worthy. And that's just a terrible place to be in, because if you're, like we've talked about earlier, if you're constantly trying to be someone else, then you're never going to discover who you are, and you're never going to be able to be your best self, and you're not going to be able to move forward. So that was a really hard place to be in.
Thanks for sharing that. And I think that's a lot of what most Asian kids go through, especially when they migrate to, you know, North America. You know, they see a lot of media that's like you said, celebrating white beauty and white culture, and even, you know, this whole like whitewashing in Hollywood too doesn't kind of help it, right? Because it's like,
totally,
we have these amazing, you know, Asian anime cartoons and movies, and then they get replaced by, you know, people like Scarlett Johansson and Matt Damon, and it's like, what about Asian people? You know, and you know, there's a huge Asian population in North America, and you know, when they see someone they can relate to, it makes it, you know, it makes us feel better, right? And I'm not saying we need to feel better, but I mean, it's great to showcase, you know, what we're capable of too. And, you know, yeah, to show people that it's okay to be ourselves and not have to do things like dye our hair blonde or do surgery, or like in the Philippines, you know, they have all kinds of whitening cream because they think being dark is considered ugly. So, you know, for me, it's like the more we can show other people there that it's okay to be yourself, it's okay to have, you know, your culture out there, it's, you know, people won't feel worthy or less worthy. They'll feel more proud of themselves and their culture. So, you know, what was that moment in your life when you realized that you were more than enough, that, you know, being Chinese was, you know, something that you can be proud of?
This came really slowly over time, but there were a few really significant turning points in my life. So I'd say one really significant thing that happened when I was a teenager was I joined a Chinese immigrant youth group in high school. And this was so important because I was able to finally be around people who understood what it was like to straddle two different cultures and have to kind of code switch constantly. And then the other really important thing with this community was that we had all of the typical teen drama playing out within our group of friends. You know, we had people date, we had people fight, we had adventures, we had mischief. And in all of this teen drama, we were at the center of it. Whereas, like we talked about earlier, with white culture and white media, the Asian people are always the punchline or the joke or just kind of off to the side being quiet and nerdy. We're never at the center of that drama. And I think this community was so important to me because I saw people who looked like me, who had experiences like me, who were at the center of that drama. And then I'd say, you know, later in life in college, I took post-colonial studies, and that completely rocked my world because it helped contextualize my experience and it helped me understand why I had internalized white supremacy and patriarchy. And once I understood the systems that had bound me, I could finally liberate myself from that oppression, and it gave me so much freedom. And then finally, writing my book helped me see how people learn to love themselves. You know, my book follows the stories of different people, people of color, women, and queer Christians who grew up in a culture that was white, patriarchal, heterosexist, and lived their lives trying to assimilate to someone else's standards. And when they realized that they had to be themselves, amazing stuff happened. Their lives really flourished, and they ended up being part of, really being the radical, transformative forces within the evangelical movement today. And seeing their development and their growth and how they came to love themselves and bring their whole selves forward in life really inspired me. And that was a huge aha moment when I gained an even deeper appreciation for who I am and the culture that I come from.
Thanks for sharing that. And it's great when you can do something that you love and just be yourself. I mean, that's when the true magic happens. Like with, you know, you really wanted to be a journalist, even though you knew it was like an unstable industry. You went for it anyways. And now look what you've done. I mean, you've created a book club with over 800 members, you know, talking about your movement. And I'm sure it's a great feeling, and like the greatest feeling in the world when you wake up knowing that you're making a difference. And, you know, it just all started with you. And I think people forget, like, if you just go out there and be yourself, do what you love and be that inspiration, you know, you start attracting the right things. So, you know, great, great stuff. And, you know, to the woman who's listening to your episode, she may be in her own journey of self-confidence. What would be that one tip you would give to her?
My tip would be to find your tribe. We all need support and community. We need to find people who will love us just the way we are, and also people who are living the kind of full life that we want to live. When we have those role models, when we have those people who are just accepting us fully, that creates an environment where we can really blossom and be our full selves.
Great tip. And I always believe who you surround yourself with is so important, right?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So great tip again. And if our listeners wanted to connect with you and get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
Yeah. So it's pretty easy. My name is Deborah Jian Lee. That's DeborahJianLee. And if you put that into Twitter, Facebook, DeborahJianLee.com, you will find me.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Deborah, you can also head on over to the TaoSelfConfidence.com and search for Deborah's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Deborah for taking the time to share her story with us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was really fun.
It was an honor to have you on. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Want to learn how you can use podcasting to market your business? Download your free report by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.